I'm Devon.
And I'm Clay.
Welcome to MVP Podcast, also known as Most Valuable Photography Podcast.
Earthquakes and vacations and flying all over the world like a bunch of important people. We're back.
Yeah, and we're back. And I think the ground is moving today. For those that don't know, we did have an earthquake in New Jersey, which is crazy. Well, it's crazy. The night before, lightning struck the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, did it? Really?
Yeah, you can see some crazy pictures if you look online. Lightning struck the Statue of Liberty. And then the next day, we had an earthquake. And then the same day, they had hail in California.
That's crazy.
So there was ice. So I... If you believe
in freezing over,
like the end is coming. I think maybe, I don't know, but yeah, crazy. I blame it on global warming, but yeah, the earthquake. We've had earthquakes in New Jersey before. Yeah. There is a fault line in New Jersey. It just we've never felt
that's
them.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's never been never yeah, so I think they've been like, so they probably maybe have been like a 2 or maybe touch 3, but this was 4.5, so enough to, you know, shake the stuff in the house and make you feel it, make the ground move. So a little weird, a little scary. So, yeah, I mean, people in California are probably laughing at us,
yeah, like,
4.5. Please, we're not canceling anything for that. Game on. Yes, exactly. Like, you know, see you later. We'll be out. Everybody, you know, kids are still going to school.
It's yeah.
Different. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's like you guys in the snow, like, you know, if you guys get an inch, everything's shutting down.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, it snowed. We're closed for the week.
A week? That's it? You mean a month?
That's it?
We're closed for a whole month.
Whole month. Yeah. Nah, crazy. Crazy times. But. So started shooting more video. So I just wanted to talk about going down this journey of adding videography to my business. I think the videography I'm going to do is going to be very niche, not like my photography where I kind of shoot everything. I think with video, the gear you need to handle certain things, you're just going down a bad rabbit hole if you think you're going to be able to do everything. And it can get really expensive really
especially
bad.
If you have enablers as friends.
Don't call your friends asking for any advice. If you have friends like mine, you should not ask for any advice at all. You should just do a little market research. And I guess the problem I'm having is probably the same thing, same problem that a lot of people come to me and ask when they're getting to photography is like, what should I buy? You know, and it's different when you're coming in trying to do it kind of as a hobby or on an amateur level and when you're trying to do it as a professional. I think with photography, you can get away with more things. And saying that a prosumer camera and a, you know, what they consider a professional camera, higher end camera, for most people, you can get away with some of the basic whatever's out there today. There's not going to be too much of a difference from what clients want, even a corporate client. You know, their standards, I find, are pretty basic. But with video, there's significant difference in the visuals when you start looking at the different cameras, different features as far as, like, what's a cinema camera and what's a, you know, DSLR mirrorless that shoots video. Some of the small features are... very significant.
Like what?
So cinema cameras usually have a built-in fan.
Oh, yeah.
So, huge difference. Yeah. You know, huge difference when you're out there. And because I'll tell you, anybody who shot video on like a mirrorless, once that camera overheats, good luck cooling it off for the next hour or so. It's ridiculous. And once the camera overheats, it shuts off. And it takes a really long time for the sensor to cool down. Now, I did purchase a third-party fan that goes externally. And for cameras where, which a lot of them are, where the LCD monitor flips out, you can actually place the fan on the back of the camera and it will keep it cool so it can run and it won't overheat. Kind of a workaround, but you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, but then if I got this thing on the back of the camera and I'm moving the camera around, the other thing is that fan has its own battery, so as it's running, you're watching a battery die, you know, and so it's a lot of factors, and I have not tested it out in really warm situations. You know, so if you're shooting outside and it's above, you know, 85 degrees, humidity plays a factor. So it's a lot of things to think about when you're shooting. And when you're doing it professionally, the last thing you want to worry about is your gear. You know, there's so many other things to worry about. You don't want to worry about your gear. You know, something simple like, okay, the camera's been on too long. Is it going to overheat? You know, so the other thing is, like with cinema cameras, a lot of them have the ability to hook up, you know, bigger external batteries. So you can run a bigger battery on it. So just a lot of things to consider. It's kind of, it's like not starting over from scratch, but there's a lot more research that needs to be done. And, you know, you don't know what you need until you get more experience in it. And my fear is, you know, you buy once and you get something that's, you know, kind of more budget friendly, but then you realize down the road, oh, I should have bought this because it had everything I needed. So that's kind of where I am now.
So you're venturing, venturing in slightly a bit slower just to make sure you don't jump in the wrong path.
Yeah. So, and also, I want to ensure that the demand is there.
Okay.
You know, that's the other thing. It's like, you know, you don't want to go out and buy, it's the same thing I'll tell a photographer. It's like, you don't want to buy, like, people go out and buy all this gear and it's just like, okay, but where are your clients?
Yeah.
You know, they went out and got the best camera, best lenses, you know, pro photo lighting. They have all this stuff and zero clients. You know, or they did all this stuff for one client, you know, and they're still in the hole. So I'm going to follow my own advice and I will, when the demand is there and it's like a no-brainer, I'll go and I'll, you know, purchase whatever I need. Because if the budget is there, if I'm making the money, then it doesn't matter. You know, it's it'll pay for itself. Yeah. And that's always, that's what I always advise. Like, how long or how many gigs is it going to take to pay for this stuff? You know, if it's like, it's going to take me a whole year of gigs, I don't think it's a good investment, you know. But I see guys buy the latest and greatest and all this stuff, and they don't really have the clientele to pay for this stuff. Nice to have. It looks great on your social media. You know, but what are you really producing with all this stuff? Or I see they have all the top of the line gear, but they're still doing, you know, prosumer camera work. So the cool thing with videography is like a lot of the same things apply with as far as lighting, color, you know, shutter speed, all that stuff is kind of the same. You just have to learn it. It's applied a little bit differently, but you know, it's the same stuff. So it's not relearning that stuff. It's just learning how to set the camera to get the to get the look that that I want. Difference, big difference is you don't necessarily get it right in camera.
Mm, yeah.
You know, so every, like, all films you see, everything is very edited. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of color correction. There's a lot of
color grading,
changing up exposure. So you kind of shoot everything flat to edit, you know. So that's a big difference for me, because you're not really, whereas with photography, I try to get it right, you know. So the only thing I want to edit later are maybe blemishes and, you know, small wrinkles in clothes. But with, you know, cinematography, you're shooting it kind of knowing what the edit is going to look like and shooting it so you can get that edit. So you shoot a very flat, raw image, raw footage, and then you color grade it and adjust exposures and shadows and highlights. All that stuff is done. So you're just shooting it, trying to get the flattest image with the most dynamic range.
Are you safer at over, under, or just what exposure?
It really depends on the camera you're using. Because I know with the Sony cameras with S-Log3, they tell you to overexpose it.
Okay.
Because you want to be able to bring the shadow detail down. And when you bring the shadow detail down, you see less noise and stuff in the footage. So you usually overexpose it. And then when you add the color grading or the LUTs to it, you'll get the look that you're going for. If you shoot it properly exposed, you usually have problems in the shadows. Okay. Yeah. So that's why some of the better cameras, it's like a huge difference between getting an 8-bit camera and a 10-bit camera. Huge difference. And some of these cameras can export, if you use an external recording, you can even get, I think, 12-bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So those extra 2 bits make a big difference in the way your footage looks and the imagery you can capture. So you know, small things, but big differences, and I'm looking between two brands and, you know, I mean, not two brands, but two models in the same brand, looking at the Sony Cinema stuff, and huge difference between like what you can get with the crop sensor version and with the full frame version, you know, whereas I find with photography, you can get about the same image, you know, you may work a little, maybe a little different workarounds, but you can get about the same image quality. But with cinematography, you know, the difference between the FX30 and the FX3 is huge. You know what, I think it has the base ISO is like, you can take it up to like 28,000 or 128,000, something like that. For the FX3. Okay. So you can basically shoot that camera without, you know, in dark areas without bringing lights.
Geez.
You know, so if you wanted to shoot concerts or you wanted to shoot like a club scene where it's very dark and there's only strobe lights, it has enough dynamic range to capture all that stuff without having to walk around with the light. You know, so if you're doing, you know, and a lot of the stuff that I want to shoot is more documentary type. So, you know, leaning towards that, the price tag is just not there yet. the price tag. But, you know, Sony does have sales, and I'm like following my own advice. It's just like, wait for the sale. You know, they were offering, and it's funny, man, Sony, I love them and hate them, because the FX3 is the same as the A7S3, but the A7S3 doesn't have the fan.
Oh, it doesn't.
And it has a different, the A7S3 doesn't have a built-in fan, and it doesn't have, it's a different body.
Yeah.
The A7S3 does have an EVF though. So if you wanted to shoot stills with it, it's probably a better camera, but it doesn't have the rigging like you would have to put a cage and stuff on it just to rig like a monitor, whereas the FX30 is already built as a rig, you know, already has mounting points and everything else. But the A7S III, they sometimes offer it like $600, $700 off, you know, so where there had been no sales on the FX3. No, because they messed around and shot a movie with it. So, I mean, now it's just like, yeah, you can. They've proven you can shoot a full feature length film using this camera. So it's like, thanks, guys. Because, you know, why are they going to lower the price ever?
You know, it's a budget. It's a budget for the big guys. So
it's a budgeted for, it's a budget camera for the big guys. Yeah, definitely a budget camera for the big guys. So it's like, yeah, why would you? Why would they lower the price? So hopefully, the FX3-2 comes out, and I can, you know, I can get the FX3. Maybe because I know it's a great camera because you don't see them secondhand.
Oh, that's an interesting point. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you don't really see a lot of them for sale.
I see FX30s for sale, but you're right.
You see FX30s, because people are upgrading to FX3. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're, you know, it's tough, man. It's a tough game. And, you know, again, you need, then you need lighting, but lighting I kind of have already, but there's different lighting. Now I'm realizing that why people have so much lighting, because you go into, especially doing documentary type stuff, you don't necessarily know where you're going to set up, you know, so you need like a light setup, you know, something you can carry and set up and be mobile, but also, you know, I might have to invest in batteries because there may not always be an outlet. So it's all these little things you have to think about. But, you know, the batteries aren't cheap. You know, to get batteries to run a light for a while, you may be investing like over $1,000. Yeah, I've
seen some of these, like Anker, and they don't not have cheap batteries.
Yeah, so the battery, like everything starts to add up after a while. You know, so that's why I'm saying, like, yeah, the work definitely has to be
there for it.
There to justify me, you know, paying out. Like, I would never want to, like, have all this gear and not use it, you know?
Yeah. So like, when you're looking at your prospective item, like, purchases, you definitely, the way you operate, you definitely want work to be there before you outlay your funds on something.
Consistent work, you know, so I mean, it would be even like when I'm doing photography, like sometimes if I'm shooting like real estate, there's like some good lenses that are great for real estate, but I would never own them because I don't shoot real estate like every day, you know, so and I have the ability to rent, so I would just say, hey, if I was doing a gig and I really needed an FX3, I would just rent it. Like, I would just charge for the rental. I wouldn't, I wouldn't buy it in if I was only doing one gig. It doesn't make sense. You know, so like I said, like all the stuff that I have now in my kit, like I'm, you know, it's stuff that I would use. You know, so I don't want to just have very niche lenses or gear that I just pull out every once in a while. It's just like, you know, I don't know. It's like when I told you I bought the A7 R4 and I shot it and I was like, wow, these dolls are really big, you know? And it's just like when you're tethering, it takes a while, you know? And even on a very fast SD card, it takes a while. Offloading the card, you know, offloading your card takes longer. So for me, the workflow, it just wasn't, there. You know, for the workflow for me to go ahead and, you know, keep it. So I returned it. And for me, the A7 IV was better, you know, because I wasn't shooting anything where I needed, you know, huge megapixels where I'm cropping all the way down and stuff. And I think the printing thing is a myth. Because I've shot things on 16 megapixel. cameras that I printed 24 by 36, and I still had full detail and resolution. So I don't know where that comes in, you know, and the bigger you print something, the further away somebody's going to have to stand to look at it. So, you know, resolution becomes, it becomes a game, you know? So, I guess it's for the pixel people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's definitely for the pixel people. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, long story short, this there'll be a part two to this. Again, if you're looking, don't tell your friends because they just encourage you to buy the most expensive things, and then you'll have the moment of weakness, and you'll just start ordering. So,
I have better advice. Just give your friends your credit card. We won't do anything wrong.
Literally.
Famous last words.
I know, right? But I did see that Sony is currently having a sale where they have $200 off a lot of their models. They do? Okay. Yeah, so I saw they dropped this price of the FX30 is $200 off. Pretty much all the FX3 is $200 off. This FX30 is $200 off. So the cinema lines are offering $200,
including
off
the A7S3.
Is that
considered cinema line? Okay,
it is. Okay, that's considered just
like a hybrid.
One of their it's one of their cameras where it's both. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was designed for video, but it wasn't part of it. They don't consider it a cinema camera just because of the way it's designed. So I think they just consider that part of the A7 series. So the FX series is what they consider their cinema line. Yeah. But yeah, I don't see them having a sale on the... Yeah, the A7S is just on
the actual cinema line.
The actual cinema, the FX series. So, I mean, yeah, the FX30 would be great. Current offering is $3,700 instead of $3,900.
Easier. So, it's easier. Come on, we got it.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier. I'm hoping that maybe over the summer they'll have maybe the sales, trade in things. The FX3 was not part of their
previous ones.
The previous trade in deals that they had, but the FX30 was. For just to give you a quick example, the FX30. FX3 you can now get for $3,700, and the FX30 is only, what are they asking for this now? You could go snatch up an FX30 for $1,600.
It's like a cheap lens. You got this. It's like a cheap lens.
Yeah, so it's good, right? But again, you don't get the low light capability. Yeah. And you don't get full frame. Now, if you're not using full frame, crop sensor lenses are smaller. Yeah. So you would have a smaller rig, which sometimes, you know.
Can be better.
It's better. It can be better. If you're doing running gun, it can be better. But I think my original thought was buy the FX30. And if I needed an FX3, I would just rent it. You know, I would just rent it for the day or the week or whatever and do that. And the FX30 would be my regular shooter because a lot of people are still shooting on Super 35. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because even the FX30 with a lens is still... like $1,000 cheaper than FX3. And it's like, you know, when you start adding up the little bits and bobs that you would need, or that you would want, it definitely
it adds up.
Definitely starts to make sense to go with the cheaper body mm-hmm. and, you know, spend some money on lenses and stuff. Because the FX series another big difference between the A7 S3 and the FX mm-hmm. series. The FX series can use power zoom lenses.
Oh.
So you can actually zoom from the body.
Oh, you can.
So you don't have to touch the lens. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So any of the power zoom lenses, you can actually zoom from the body.
For the FX line.
FX line.
Nice.
Yeah. So the actual, normally the on-off mm-hmm. switch is actually the zoom in and out.
Yeah.
Toggle zoom in and out.
Wow.
So, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, you're shooting stuff to get like smooth zoom and stuff like that.
I'd love to see that. I got to Google it. I got to check a YouTube on that. I didn't realize that was a thing.
So all the power zoom lenses you can use with the FX30. You know, so if you got a FX30 with a 10 to 20 millimeter, which will cover a lot of video mm-hmm. ranges.
Is that what you would go for you were doing?
I would probably get, like 10 to 20 is a good range. 'Cause 10 millimeter is about...
it's like 15 or...
It's like a 15. Yeah, so it'd be like 15 to 30.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
So it's kind of a good zoom range, you know, because you could get, even if you're in a tight spot, or you can get close enough where you're not super mm-hmm. close, but you can still get, and then anything else you could always switch out. But that's like a good leave on the camera lens and shoot mm-hmm. everything. You know, it's a 10 to 20 2.8. Mm, so
nice.
It's a good, you know, you get a decent amount of light in there and everything else. So
nice.
Again,
tough
choices.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, no, sorry. It's an F4.
Oh, it's F4. But, you know, a question. So if you're shooting mm-hmm. video and you're looking at the screen on your current camera right now, your A7 IV, mm-hmm. Are you shooting manual with these type of projects, or are you shooting autofocus?
The last thing I shot autofocus mm-hmm. because I was shooting a sports documentary. Okay. But if you're shooting any like talking heads or anything, you could probably just shoot manual. But I leave it on autofocus because the autofocus is pretty mm-hmm. silent.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I mic whoever.
Okay, instead of the body,
so,
like off the body.
Off the body, so I don't usually hear anything going on mm-hmm. with the camera. I haven't had it. I mean, manual focus is good for very like cinematic,
mm-hmm.
Cinematic things. So you don't want to really rely on the autofocus because it's not going to give you the look mm-hmm. you want. But for the stuff I shoot, autofocus works well.
Okay. And are we shooting wide open apertures, or you're like stopping down?
Depending on the light, most of the time I'm wide open because I'm using available mm-hmm. light. So I usually open up and try to keep, to get the cinematic look, you kind of want to shoot at 24 frames mm-hmm. per second. And the rule of thumb is you double, your shutter speed doubles your frame rate.
Okay. Okay.
So I usually end up changing my aperture to adjust so I have an even mm-hmm. exposure once I double the frame rate.
Gotcha.
50 frames per second. Mm. So that's why a lot of things like ND filters and all that, they use a lot of that stuff mm-hmm. in video so that they can keep, because a lot of movies are shot, the whole movie is shot at the same mm-hmm. aperture. They don't change the aperture just to give it the same look through the whole movie. You know, just so the movie has the same look, every scene has the same depth of field, you know. So, a lot of little things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of little things to consider, but just trying to see when I'm going to mm-hmm. jump in and purchase something. I'm thinking the FX30 makes the most sense where I am right mm-hmm. now, because budget wise, you know, it's easier to recoup that than, you know, the 4,000 plus that I would probably be in to
for the other one,
the FX3. Yeah. Once I get in, you know, by the time you get everything you need, you're probably going to be way into it. So, And it, and a lot of times with photography, it's a lot of the other little things that make, you know, make life great, you know, and make the video, it actually make the production better because you're working easier. So, you know, I'll look into it.
No, this is you know, cool. That's exciting. I love hearing people kind of, especially business people. Like, there are some business people who business, you know, practitioners who are so scared of change, you know, and evolution, and just looking to see what else is out there. And it seems like you're really embracing it. So that's good.
Yeah, I just feel like things are changing too fast. So you got to get on the wave. You know, if you look at everything, everything is video. You know, most things you see now are video. There's a lot less still and a lot more video. So, you know, see, like, even things that started, like, Instagram was just photos, and now it's mainly video, and TikTok's huge because it's all video. So, you know, I just want to get in. And since, you know, I know some of the stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know how to do this stuff. Like, it's the same technology. Yeah. And I've been using the editing software for years, so I think it's a no brainer. It's just something to embrace. And I see a lot of the video that people are doing, and it's not that great. You know, they're doing set it and forget it type of video. It's just like, it's like, okay, cool. This is the, you know, it's like putting the camera on P and saying you're a photographer, right? It's just like, you're just spraying and praying. You know, and it's kind of the same thing I see with videography. Like, people really aren't learning the art of it. And, like, some people have, or you can see the difference, you know, you can see the difference. So just trying to say, like, hey, well, if they're doing it, you know, it's just another thing to study, you know, it's just another thing to study and figure out and learn. And so,
That's awesome.
As we progress.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So,
cool beans.
Yes. So, yeah, if the world, New Jersey, doesn't open up and swallow me, you can find me at DevonWarrenPhoto.com or at DevonWarrenPhoto on all social media. Where can they find you? Well, they're going to leave Florida alone. Everybody's scared of Florida. Yeah. So even when the day of reckoning comes, they'll be like,
we'll be the empire. You guys, so, you know.
You'll be like, you guys can't come. Everything, take everything except Florida.
We'll be the U.S. empire once everything goes to hell. Heck, because we've already been here. We've been part of this underground for a while. But you can find me at CW Daily everywhere that matters. And actually working on the website. So when that comes back up, I'll put that out there again. But for right now, you can find me at CW Daily. And you know, say hi. And if you have any questions, reach out to us.
Yes, indeed. So until next time, or hopefully there is a next time. Now let me stop. until next time, and there'll definitely be a part two or three to this video, to this series, man, because it's going to be a journey.
Awesome. And I look forward to it.
Yes. So. All right. Ciao.